This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
The divine spark in me recognizes the divine spark in you, Tanner. I'm Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And what happens in relation with the divine spark that's going on with you that you have?
My divine spark, Jack, is pulsing and it's radiating and it's emitting heat and light and the heat and light is washing over your divine spark.
Okay.
And there's a connection and the heat from our sparks are intermingling and the light is indistinguishable.
Mm.
And my divine spark, Jack, recognizes and envelops.
Okay.
And is enveloped by.
Okay.
The divine spark in you.
And now, Baby Nation, the bigger divine spark that is a powerful divine spark that has the potential to destroy the world because it's so big and bright and explosive.
Jack is talking about God.
That is the divine spark that is the combination of my divine spark and Tanner's divine spark.
It is divine in a way, right?
It's divine and it's
our combined divine spark.
It's looking out over the horizon and it recognizes something and it says, what is that? What's that I see? What's that I recognize? And it's the Baby Nation. No, you're looking in your room. It's their divine spark.
You said the horizon, and I looked
at your room. Yeah.
I looked back to see what you were talking about.
Yeah, and that's your nuptial bed.
All I saw was
bed.
A wall. I saw my nuptial bed in my wall.
No, our divine spark. You get it. Everybody gets it, right?
Everyone gets it, yeah.
Yeah.
They know what we mean. Sex.
No. Not that. Well,
what did you mean by nuptial bed then?
No, I mean about the divine spark thing.
Oh, well, that's
just
as
recognizing each other.
It could take many forms.
We're all recognizing each other.
We're all recognizing each other. Sometimes that recognition can evolve, can blossom into
in this case,
sexual intercourse.
No.
Sometimes it can blossom into a polite conversation. Sometimes it can blossom into doing a podcast with your best friend. Sometimes it can blossom into
listening to
whatever.
A podcast. With your best friends, Jack and Tanner, and it's hi is what we say. And welcome to the Babysitter's Club. It's not the Babysitter's Club. There's something missing at the end, isn't there? So, don't look at me like that. Do your job. Do your job.
I'm watching your mouth. I'm waiting for it to come. Club.
Fuck. Yeah. A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd,
and I, Tanner Greenring,
talk about the video novels now of The Great Sitter's Cycle by The Princess of the Prince of Towns, St. Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, Bane to Bats, First of Her Name, Last of Her Kind, Last Hope for Humankind. This week we're going to be discussing a video novel by The Hand of God and another nefarious cast of characters. Who have created a video novel called BSC Netflix Show Number 6, Claudia and Mean Janine. And Janine is in this one, and she's great in it.
And she's mean.
She's mean, and she's good, though. She's funny.
She's mean. She is good, and she is funny, but she is mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember very quickly.
Yeah.
Do we have a guest on this
Yes,
week?
So this week we've got a guest. We've got two guests.
Two guests.
We are going to be speaking with Naya Susikoff and...
Of Walden Greedia fame.
Of Walden Greedia fame and Lucy Katada.
I think she's essentially in charge of Walden Greedia.
Yeah, that's right.
And she named her company after...
After the Walden, human impulse... Oh, Walden...
Throw Henry...
The lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lake, and then also
the book about the lake,
right? And the human impulse of acquisitiveness,
mm-hmm.
Which is part of our original sin. And Lucy Katada is also joining
us. Lucy Katada from Picture Start, which is the production, the company that made the show.
Right. They're going to be joining us later in the episode to talk about... What did we talk to them about?
We mostly challenged them to bring our creative vision to life.
Right. On the big screen.
Yes.
Yes. So that's something to look forward
and,
to.
And I mean, when by we mostly did that, I mean, we mostly will do that when we talk to them live.
Yes. Live on air.
Later this episode.
Later this episode. First, we're going to talk about what Claudia did and what Mean Janine did this week.
Yes.
And I guess what happened to Mean?
What Trevor Sanborn did and what Logan Bernard did.
Snag in the grass.
We don't say it like that anymore.
We can if we like.
He's just the snake in the grass.
Oh, okay. It's just...
Because I don't know if you heard...
The snake in the grass.
I'm going to have to bring this up with Lucy Annihilator, but...
Okay, well, we did already record our interview, but yes.
Logan is not from Louisville on this, and he doesn't have a Louisville accent. He just has a normal man accent.
That's...
Hello, it's me, Logan Bruno.
So you think he's affecting a normal man accent?
I don't know what he's
trying
doing.
To hide
I don't
something.
Know. I don't know if it's Lucy and Naya's fault. I don't know if it's Logan's fault. I don't know who's pulling the strings here.
Wow.
But Logan is no longer apparently from Louisville.
I don't even know how to say snake in the grass without putting a little wang on it.
Pretend you're Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay.
Affecting an American accent.
Will Watson. Oh. Will Watson.
That was a poor job because you just your affectation of an American accent.
Yeah,
you went Southern, which I know that a lot of Brits like to do.
It was a bridge too far. I can do English accent. I can do English person doing an American accent. I can do American accent, but I can't do Benedict Cumberbatch effectively doing an American accent. That's a bridge too far.
Hello, it is me. Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's how you get into it. It is I, Doctor Strange. The snake in the grass.
The snake in the grass. You have to hit the R's really hard.
The snake in the grass.
Hello, it is me, Logan Bruno. I am the snake in the grass.
that's it. That's good. I like that a lot.
We watched this episode this week. It was very good. It was very
sad. We loved it.
It was very moving.
Yeah.
Janine was mean, but she was mean with purpose.
Out of love.
Yes.
You've come around since all those years ago when you and I first talked about Claudia and Mean Janine.
I have no recollection.
The what do you say? Audio? No. And what do you call a video novel that you read with your eyes? Video novel? No.
I watched this with my eyes.
But it's different.
The video novel this week I watched with my eyes.
But what's one where you read with your eyes? A radio novel.
Radio novel.
The radio novel. Right. Yeah. The radio novel, when we first talked about the radio novel that this video novel is based on, you thought Janine was bad. But she's good, isn't she? Now you can see her. She's good, right?
Yes. Okay. You're talking around something, and it makes me want to introduce a new segment I've invented for the video novel series.
Okay, we do have to describe
the book first.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to do that first.
Okay.
Is it my turn, perchance?
I want to think that it's your turn. Yeah, I think it's your turn. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, you'll describe every single thing that happens in this video novel. I'm going to start. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right now.
Okay. Claudia and Stacy have a scheme, and the scheme is to make over Mr. Spear and to renovate Marianne's room. They're trying again. Mr. Spear is open to it this time. He gets a makeover, and they make over Marianne's room, too, and make it purple. Also happening in this video novel is that Claudia is going to be featured in an art show, and we see her candy art, and it looks good. Also, what happens in this episode is that Mimi has a stroke and she nearly dies, but she doesn't. Instead, she survives and she loses her ability to speak English effectively, That creates a rift between Claudia and her sister, Janine. They're fighting about the fact that one of them understands Mimi better than the other. What they realize at the end of the episode is that they both understand Mimi in different ways, and that creates a stronger bond between them.
That was great. I loved it. I thought that was really very, very good. That just an economy. You were getting hung up on a light C plot early on.
The light C plot. I almost lost it. I got really involved with that. But,
yeah. You pulled it off, and I loved it. I you know, game recognized game. That was excellent. You did a really good job. That's an A+. Wow, I'm glad
here's
you described
the, here's, it. Here's one of the nice synergy moments,
yeah,
Jack, of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The episode opens with Claudia and Stacy visiting the Spear household. After a failed attempt with Sharon in the last episode to renovate Marianne's room and to do like a extreme home makeover.
Mm-hmm.
They come back and they expect that Richard has softened and realized that he was in error by yelling at them.
They do such a good job of that.
And they say, "Hello, Richard. It's us, Marianne.
We don't fear the spear.
It's us, Claudia and Stacy. Mm-hmm. We do not fear the spear.
Yeah.
We're here to make over you, and we're here to make over your daughter's room.
Yes.
Are you open to this?" And he says, "Yes, I'm embarrassed by my candor last time we spoke. Please have at it."
Yeah.
And here's the beautiful synergy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia and Stacy say, "Have you heard of Queer Eye?"
Right.
On Netflix. Netflix's Queer Eye.
Yes. That's synergy, isn't it? That's synergy.
And Fear the Spear says, "Yes, I have. Oh, God, are they here?"
Right.
And funny. Then they do a montage where they play the song.
The actual song.
From the Queer Eye show.
Yeah, at first I was like, man, the sound engineers on this did a really good job getting a song that sounds like the song from the Queer Eye show.
It's the song.
It's the song. I was like, did they fucking ask Jonathan for this?
Did they ask Anthony for this?
Did they ask The National?
that's what you think, Sam.
I assume.
I think it's
if Anthony was involved. I don't know. But yeah, it's good.
What fun!
But
what other kind of Netflix shows can they glean off of?
Oh, Chernobyl.
I think that's HBO. Jamie and I watch a lot of Deep Space Nine on Netflix.
That could be good. Yeah,
Commander Sisko can come.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Yeah, and they could use that song. Ba da 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 da. Oh, we have to fight some Romulans. Oh,
they don't really fight the Romulans.
Okay,
have
fine.
You ever seen Deep Space Nine?
Let me try again. Please let me try again. Oh, someone from Delta Quadrant is attacking.
Yes.
Okay.
Through the wormhole.
Yes.
It would be very fun to feature Quark, the Ferengi bartender from Deep Space Nine, on a future episode. If we're doing characters from other Netflix properties.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's just do that. Yeah.
Okay, what do I watch on Netflix? I watched something called Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's good.
You know who made that? The guy from My Chemical Romance.
Gerard Butler from My Chemical
Romance.
Not
Gerard Butler.
I think it's Gerard Butler. Yeah, it's a comic book that I've read by Gerard Butler from My Chemical Romance.
I don't think that would work.
This is Sparta, and he kicks someone down a well.
We mostly watch whale documentaries with the child.
Yeah, we're watching a lot of Sesame Street these days. A lot of Sesame Street. And Miles is at an age now where if we say the word Sesame Street, he does one of two things. Runs to the TV and looks at it expectedly, like, hey, let's make this happen. Or he runs to the desk where he knows the Apple TV remote lives.
Oh, he's a wily one.
And he's just like, come on, let's make
come
this
on,
happen.
Bud. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad.
We're watching Sesame Street.
Cyril and I have a game where we try to see if he could enunciate the name of the movie he wants to watch well enough to make it go into the, like, speak into the microphone and make Netflix pull it up. And so, but he gets so into it that he always just goes, "Dolphin Reef! Dolphin Reef!" And Netflix is like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's too aggressive.
Are you okay?"
Here's Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, there was some synergy in this, and they did do a failure, though, in that if what's the guy who does all the actual work on Queer Eye? What's
his Bobby.
Name? Bobby. If Bobby were rearranging Marianne's room,
yeah,
there is a 1,000% chance that he would find a way to incorporate that ugly Humpty Dumpty.
Oh yeah, and it would be very touching.
Yeah, and it would be cool.
It'd be like they would be in like a car together driving somewhere, and Bobby would be like, "Tell me about the Humpty Dumpty photo."
Yeah, exactly.
The rare photo of Humpty Dumpty you have.
And then he would do all the work.
Yeah, and then he would do all the work because he always does all the work. And then like Anthony would make like sangrias,
and Anthony would be like, "Here's how to put cream cheese on a bagel."
The only two people who do any work on that show, and this is a hot take, are Bobby, who does all the physical work, and Karamo, who does all the emotional work. Karamo, and the other three are just around.
I'm going to allow this because it's interesting to me, but we have
they,
to get back
they
to
pick
the
out an outfit,
book.
They pick out a sangria, and they pick out a hairdo, and it's like, great.
Karamo, 3 times in 10, does work. Then the rest
Karamo
of the time...
Does, But like those 3 times of 10 are like
no, he really does it. He's
so
like,
powerful.
I solved an emotional problem that you've had since you were 11, and now you're like fixed, and it's worth it. But sometimes he's like, "We're gonna do yoga together." We got to talk about this video novel.
Here's my new segment I want to introduce, and it's hot off the heels of this. So they go in and they make over Marianne's room.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks great. It's purple. It's bold. It's covered in posters from Broadway plays.
Yeah, it looks good.
And it looks good. Mm-hmm. And Stacy walks in at the 207 mark, and she declares the following thing.
This rug is my husband.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So my new segment is called... Is this canon?
Okay. Yeah, I had
and what
that
we
question
try to do
too.
Is figure out whether or not some decision that they've made in the show, in the Netflix show, is or maybe should be canon for the entire universe, baby sitterverse.
And we should say, as we have made a point of saying almost every episode since we've been talking about the video novels, that we are not here to do the annoying thing of being like, "Oh, I don't like this choice you made in the video novels. It's not in the radio novels. They don't do it." Like, we're fans of both, and we recognize that the hand of God.
We're fans of both, but we also know that this is like one shared universe.
Right. Totally. Yes.
So we need to figure out whether or not
Stacy's
married
to a rug.
Updating the canon.
Yeah.
And I'm fine to do that. If that's the decision we want to make, that's fine. I want to add a wrinkle to it.
Yeah.
Jack,
okay.
Which is that she's actually not married to the rug because they got divorced.
Oh, right. She says she's divorcing the rug for
because at the 221 autumn. Mark, she says,
"I'm divorcing the rug and marrying this pillow."
Right. Well,
so is that canon too?
Here's what I'll say of that. She makes a statement of intent in the second case and a statement of fact in the first place.
But she also makes it you're saying that the divorce is not final.
Right. She's just saying, as anyone might.
So it sounds like we're deciding that it's canon that she has
married a rug. She
but
is
it's
married
not
to
canon
a rug.
That she's divorcing the rug to marry a pillow.
Not unless it comes up again. And they would have to devote a whole episode to it.
Well, they don't even necessarily need to do that. If she just mentions it again, she's
maybe
like,
that's
oh,
what Christie's big day is about. Because I know that one. I remember if I've cast my mind
it's
back to
marriage,
4 years ago, it's about a wedding.
A wedding, yeah.
Yeah. So it could
maybe
be
it's
that.
Stacy
and the pillow.
The pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all I need to know. And then now that's entered into the canon.
Well, is she a snow golem in this as well? Because that's complicated, too.
I don't think that was ever officially entered into the canon in the radio novels.
Yeah. You're right. because we lost that episode.
Weirdly got cut. Or maybe we lost that episode. I don't remember.
Okay, so we'll put a pin in that. Stacey's maybe married to a rug. Can I say this?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of Trevor Sanborn.
Okay.
Already.
Where's this coming from? This is, I feel...
you feel attacked.
I'm uncomfortable with your... No, I don't feel attacked, but I'm uncomfortable with your tone.
Okay. Well, the reason I was thinking about it is if Stacey is married to a rug, that's going to be... I don't want to have to keep saying that. I don't want to have to keep saying that.
What do you mean?
If Stacey is married to a rug.
You don't have to keep saying that. You can just say Stacey is married to a rug. We entered it into the canon.
Okay. So...
If she's married to a pillow.
Given Stacey's marital situation.
Yeah.
The Trevor Sanborn situation takes on...
God, that creates a whole can of worms because it's like... So 13-year-olds are allowed to get married in Connecticut now? Or is it only they're allowed to get married to rugs and pillows?
I don't
know. Maybe one of us should go to Connecticut.
One of us
should like embed ourselves in Connecticut.
Okay. Should we play paper, rock, scissors to see who does it?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? I'm going to wait. I'm going to do rock. Okay, let's go. Okay. 1, 2, 3, show.
You didn't do rock. You lied to me.
We both did paper.
You're going to hell, according to
Kant. We both did paper. Okay, ready?
Kant.
This time I really am going to do rock. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, we both did paper again. Okay, this time I actually am going to do rock. Ready?
One. That's two lies. You're going to hell, Kant says.
1, 2, 3, go. Paper, and I have scissors, and I win. I did psychological warfare on you. Did you like it?
No. So I have to go to Connecticut?
And you have to move your whole family to Connecticut.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Somebody should embed, figure out what the fuck is going on. Let's talk about Trevor Sanborn briefly. He's tiresome.
He's still wearing his little hat, and I like the hat a lot.
He's still wearing his little hat, and he like leans against the... He leans... Claudia has her digestible comestibles showing this week, where she draws Tootsie Pops.
Yeah.
And Trevor Sanborn is like, I love the shading on your fucking...
Tootsie Pops.
And then he shows up and he like is wearing a beanie and he sits, he does a lean. And I know this from being a teen. I used to think a lot about my lean. I thought about
how
it a lot.
How you're leaning?
I talked about it a lot. I would bring it up a lot. Like, look at the angle of this lean. It was something that I really thought about. And it's clear that Trevor Sanborn has as well. And I don't know. What is this going anywhere?
Claudia and Trevor?
Yeah. No.
Hard to say.
That's something to think about.
It's something you think about. Also, something Trevor says to Claudia, which just confounds me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I think this is good enough to get you into the Eastern Connecticut District Art Show. He says it at, maybe Claudia says it. Someone says it at the 247 mark. Anything jump out at you?
I think this is good enough.
Her Tootsie Pop art is good enough to get her into the Eastern Connecticut District Art Show. Eastern Connecticut now, Jack?
Okay. And now they're changing Connecticut?
Because Fairfield County is Western Connecticut. Fairfield County was okay. Danbury. It was Stamford. It was Norwalk. Like,
right.
That's as far west in Connecticut as you can get. It's essentially New York suburbs. And now she's participating in the Eastern Connecticut.
Why would you do that if you're from
District
Western?
District Art Show?
Sounds like voter fraud. Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing this to...
That throws off the scent. And then Lucia told us that it's in fucking Toronto.
No, Montreal?
Come on. We have the director on the show, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's the part of Connecticut that extends into Montreal. Give me a fucking break. Make up your mind where Stony Brook is, people.
I feel like they're doing it to throw us off the trail, and I feel like one of us is going to have to go up there.
Someone's going to have to move their whole family
and embed themselves up there to figure this out.
Psychologically manipulated you with my paper, rock, scissors prowess.
Yeah. And you lied, and Kant says you're going to go to hell now. Who's the one who says lying is a sin?
It's complicated, and it's a misrepresentation of Kant, and we don't have time to talk about that.
Okay. Sounds like something you'd love to talk about, though.
Well, I'd like to take a break.
Okay.
Here's what. I want to take a break.
Collect your thoughts. While we're on our break, collect your thoughts about Kant.
And then I want very specifically.
What's it? Absolutivism?
Deontology.
Truth. Deontology. Who's that, Kant?
Kant is a deontological philosopher.
Okay.
But what I really want to talk about is eggs.
Again?
Yeah, again. Don't look at me. No. Before we go, don't look at me like I'm the one who keeps on bringing up eggs. It's a fucking show that brings up eggs. I'm just bringing my vast critical abilities to bear on what the show is doing to me. So don't fucking shoot the messenger. Right. Okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I lashed out inappropriately.
Okay, let's take a quick break and talk about eggs.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about eggs, baby.
Oh, let's talk about eggs. I'm so fine hearing that song today of all days.
My, me, me.
Yes.
Let's talk about all the eggs that they put in this video book, you and me,
Baby
Let's
Nation.
Talk about eggs.
We sing a song at lunch when Jack and I work together called "Let's Talk About Lunch, Baby." Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things we can eat. Let's talk about lunch. We found an easy button from Staples and we reprogrammed it so that we could record ourselves singing that song. So anytime either
we
of
did
us
this
wanted
in
lunch,
2011 or 12.
Yeah, anytime either of us wanted lunch, we could just go up and hit the easy button in front of the other one, and it would play us singing, "Let's talk about lunch, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things we can eat." We've had that easy button kicking around the office for years. Today, I went into the office to clean up my desk because I was laid off from major media company and brought
New
my
York
desk.
NewYorkReviewOfBooks.com/InfoWars.
Yes, and brought a box home with all my stuff in it. Miles went into the box, found my easy button, spent all evening hitting it over and over and over again so I could hear me and Jack and our friend Scott singing that song over and over again.
He likes to hear it.
He loves it. He loves it.
Just as our colleagues did when we pressed that every day, like at earlier and earlier times, like often at like 11. People are like,
yeah, it was like, we were like, I need a drink.
Especially like the news team would be like, guys,
yeah,
I'm interviewing Hillary Clinton.
Like, ooh, la, la.
Ooh, well, we're talking about lunch, baby.
We're going to go have sangrias.
We're going to talk about eggs right now. They put a lot of eggs in these video novels. We have surmised, you and I together have surmised, that it is a reference to the fall, to Eve's fall. Yes. To the post-lapsarian state that happens after Eve and Adam fall, because Humpty yep. Dumpty also falls famously, and that's what it's about. Eggs also signify rebirth, birth, something new, something that's going to hatch. I don't know. Eggs are pretty pregnant with meaning. They put a lot of eggs in these books. I'd like to remind you, Tanner, if I may, while we're talking about Mimi, of something that Mimi most famously said in the radio book, mm-hmm. Babysitter's Club number 4, Marianne Saves the Day. I think talking about Humpty Dumpty, if my memory of context is correct.
Okay.
He is the shattered egg man.
Mimi says that.
Do you remember her saying that?
No. Is this post-stroke or pre-stroke?
It's pre-stroke. It's in Babysitter's Club number 4, the radio novel, Marianne Saves the Day.
She refers to... I have a few questions. You're saying that she refers to Humpty Dumpty, Mimi refers to Humpty Dumpty as the Shattered Eggman.
The Shattered Eggman. Yeah, I looked it up. I went back and looked it up. It's in the book.
They did bring up Humpty Dumpty a bit in the radio novels, is what you're saying.
Yes, in the radio novels.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't. Yeah. I believe you.
Well, I think the hand of God wants us to think about that.
Interesting. It actually kind of makes me wonder, do you have more to say about
Let me interrupt real quickly
because I do wonder if this is what the new ghostwriter wants us to refer to her as.
Okay, should we introduce a new ghostwriter?
Yes, let's introduce a new ghostwriter. Let's induct her into
we'll
the
play
canon,
the music.
Into the pantheon.
Yeah. Welcome Jade Chang. Ghostwriter in the Babysitter's Club video novels. We welcome you. We accept you. We bring you into
celebrate you
clutches, and we
praise you like we should.
And we praise you like we should. That boy slipped.
Yes. And so I thought throughout this episode that what she wanted, I suspected what she wanted to be called was the Golem.
The Golem, because there's a Stacy Snow Golem stuff. I think that's pretty
no,
deep
because
lore,
at but... one point, Batgirl says to Richard Spear, your hair looks nice, and he says, thank you, it has clay in it.
Like a golem.
A clay golem. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I thought maybe she wants to be called the Golem. But now it maybe sounds like there's an even more sort of obscure reference that she's reaching for, which is straight from the radio novels.
Right. She wants to be called the Shattered Eggman.
The Shattered Eggman, maybe.
Right. Yes, I think that might be right.
And isn't that interesting?
That it's interesting, and it's powerful, and it's especially powerful given the many eggs that appear throughout these video novels, and they're woven further into the mythology and the lore of the Babysitter's Club in a number of ways this week.
Is this... The radio novels are all bread. We know that, right?
It's all bread, yeah. All the way down and all the way
up. Are the video novels all eggs?
I think it's eggs. I think you're right. I think it's eggs. Fuck.
Maybe the radio novels are all bread. The video novels are all eggs.
Eggs.
It makes me want to listen to the audio novels again, because maybe there's like some other thing that they are all.
Wow. Maybe. So I know that as a vegan, I know that sometimes there's eggs in bread, so you got to be careful.
Yeah.
So maybe it's
well,
related.
And that the two are tied together for
They're
sure.
They're friends. They're friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay, well, I'm going to tie a bunch of other things together right now. At 12:56, Snake in the Grass.
Just Snake in the Grass.
Sorry. Doctor Strange, I'm the Snake in the Grass.
Yes.
How's that? I'm the Snake in the Grass.
Yeah, you've done it. You found it.
I found it. Okay.
You found it.
Doctor Strange, the Snake in the Grass shows up at 12:56. And it's the first time we've seen him since he was briefly depicted in the first video novel in the library.
Yeah.
And what is he looking at, Tanner, at 12:56? What is also in the scene? Don't look at your... Tanner turned around and looked at the wall above his nuptial bed, but that's not going to be helpful. What is it that the Snake in the Grass, Logan Bruno, is looking at when he is reintroduced in this
painting?
Video novel? A painting. And what's in the painting, Tanner? Tell our viewers and our listeners. It's a basket. And what's in the basket?
What's in the basket?
What's eggs. In the basket? And it's eggs.
It's eggs.
It's a basket of eggs.
And Marianne says,
eggs?
What is that?
Yeah.
Because she's nervous. She's too nervous to talk to Logan.
Yeah.
And he says, I think it's eggs.
Yeah. And then she says, eggs.
That was a very good scene.
What is it? Oh boy.
I think it's a basket of eggs.
Eggs.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, so there's more eggs. So the eggs are pretty deeply embedded.
At a basket.
I feel like we need
to
restart
eggs
from the beginning, because I feel like there's been eggs the entire time, maybe.
But think about this, Tanner. Please, if I may, just tie this together briefly. We have talked about eggs as a metaphor for the fall, right?
Okay, yeah.
Eve falls, Humpty falls.
Yeah.
And then now the fucking Snake in the Grass is here, just as we're seeing these pristine eggs, and he looks at these eggs, and he turns to Marianne, and she says, eggs? Come on, guys.
Eggs, right.
It's a fucking literal fucking snake in the garden before the eggs break. It couldn't be more obvious.
There's eggs in the garden now, too? God, I haven't read the Bible in years.
Well, there's
years.
Not eggs in the Bible. But
that was an apple.
No, I know. The eggs are falling. Forget it. But think about it. Don't forget.
I thought it was
it.
An apple.
It's apple is yes, is an apple.
She takes an egg off a tree and eats it?
No. Humpty falls.
I do not remember that at all. I went to Catholic school for years.
It is an apple. It's an apple.
Okay.
But I just wanted to draw everyone's attention to that. I'm right. And then the final thing that I'll say on this matter, and I won't say anything more, is that I can't ask you to recall this because you probably weren't looking too closely, but I did pause the video novel at the moment that the Snake in the Grass, Logan Bruno, appears, looks at a basket of eggs, full pregnant with meaning. At that moment, there are two words written above the basket of eggs. And it is some kind of, it's nonsense, but it is Ambar Otter is written above the basket of eggs. Which
what is
eggs.
What's the first word there?
Ambar. A-M-B-A-R.
Ambar.
And then the second word is otter. And I will save you the trouble of going to figure out what the anagram is, because one anagram that really jumped right out of me is a matter orb.
Okay.
So we see Logan suddenly appears as if materializing.
I hate...
Staring at some eggs.
I hate to imagine
the words above his head say a matter.
I hate to imagine the journey new listeners are on right now.
Well, they've read these books, probably.
The radio novels?
The radio novels, yeah.
Yeah. Listen to this, Jack. Here I am. I am tired. I am tired of running, of having to carry my life like it was a basket of eggs.
Okay.
You know who said that?
Who said that?
William Faulkner.
Faulkner. Fuck yeah. And they bring him up again in this video novel. It's hard to keep it straight, but yeah.
Yeah. So wow. He's even talking about it. And that's, I think, what Anne and Jade wanted us to do.
Right.
Was think about Faulkner. Because Claudia does quote Faulkner at one point and thinks that it's a Buddhist saying. And then Janine corrects her. It's a little bit of a burn on Faulkner.
It's Faulkner. I can't remember the quote.
I can't remember it either.
I hate the South. I don't hate the South. I don't hate the South. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. That's from it's from Absalom, Absalom. I think that's the quote she says from Faulkner.
I don't hate the South?
Yeah. It's the famous ending of Absalom, Absalom.
It sounds like they hate the South because they stripped Logan of his Louisville accent. So it seems like they hate the South.
I think that's the Faulkner quote they say in this. If not, I'll play a clip of the actual Faulkner quote they say.
The past isn't dead. It isn't even past. I thought that was an old Buddhist saying too, but Janine said it was actually some guy named William Faulkner.
Jack, while we're talking about the art exhibit, while we're talking about the basket of eggs, I want to talk about a segment that we have called... Yep.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have...
could have played this fucking role. And it's the segment each week where I challenge Waldengreedia and Picture Start to cast me as a background character in the show. This week at the Eastern Connecticut District Art Show, there was a man in the background looking at art, seeming interested and moving on. He was wearing a baby blue vest.
Oh, you could do that.
And a baby blue trilby.
Oh, you could.
And he was
do
in the
that.
Background and he looked at a piece of art and he went, And then like turned and just kind of walked away. And you never see him again, but he's very distinct because of his baby blue vest and baby blue trilby.
Yeah.
And I can play that fucking role.
Come on, guys.
It's not even a speaking role. I could have done that. Naya, Lucy.
Come on, Lucy. Come on, Naya. You know better. You Lucia? Know better.
Rachel?
Yeah.
I dare you to cast me.
Sochi?
I dare you.
Malia?
Cast me.
Come on.
See what happens.
Yeah.
I know. You're afraid. You're afraid.
They're afraid.
You're afraid that I will come and my presence will be so grandiose and so powerful. And so enrapturing.
People be like, everyone's talking about Trilby Man the next day, and no one's talking about what happened in the episode. Did you see Trilby
Man?
It'll
be like a meme. Yeah.
Well, I could have played this role.
Tell me.
At the 14 minute and 24 second mark, an unpleasant lady walks up to Claudia and says,
"Let me say it another way. What are you hoping this work communicates to the viewer?"
Yeah.
That's something I would just naturally say to a teen.
I don't think...
About her art that she made.
I admire your gumption.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would be better for the gentleman behind that lady, who's like clearly her crony, who like takes a note after... like silently takes a note after she says that to Claudia. Did you see that guy?
No.
He was just like that lady who was like a prestigious art lady had two like assistants behind her.
Yeah.
And once she like got done like dressing down Claudia, these two people like silently take notes and then they all move on. And I feel like you could be that guy.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. I could do that. I could do either of those things. I could do both. Actually, you know what? I could do both. I'm versatile enough that I could do both of those things.
And we'll do like
and then we could have the lady and the guy in the trilby would interact. They would like share a wink.
We'll
and
do CGI.
That's good. Yeah.
So you'll be in like a full body mocap suit for that, and then you'll do both in full body mocap, and then we'll layer it on. We'll do like
it'll be like Multiplicity.
Princess Leia in Rogue One.
Okay. So we really both reach for very different references.
Yeah. All right. Great. Okay. Jack.
Yes.
Can I talk to you about something?
Yes, please. Please talk to me about whatever you like.
It's this.
Yeah.
It's my...
Bird of the week.
that's where we talk about the burns in the book. There are a lot of them.
A lot of burns in the video novel this week.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I tell you mine?
Yeah, you can tell me yours. I have two, and they're both good burns from Janine, who just fucking
mine is one of mine is a burn from Janine, and I suspect it's probably one of yours. Janine, so the we have not talked about this much this episode yet, but the main plot of this video novel was that Janine is mean.
She's mean, and she's not being like super emotionally available to Claudia, who's sad because Mimi, like, and in fact, Mimi had a stroke right after Janine and Claudia were having a fight about this sort of logic versus passion sides of their personality.
I've startled my boy awake with my burn of the exclamation. Week. Yeah.
Is that?
It's always a
worry.
A worry with the burn of the week.
Yeah.
But tonight I've gone too big.
You've gone too big. Is that going to make your wife upset?
Probably because she's playing D&D.
Oh.
So she doesn't want to have to deal with him.
Has he gone silent now?
No, he's still crying. She's just texted me. She said, baby's fussing a bit.
Do you want to pause?
No, we'll be fine. I'm going to take a back seat. I'm going to let you, Jackie, take the wheel.
Okay.
So you tell me about your burn.
I'm going to tell you about my burn, and it's as follows. It's at the 3 minute and 30 second mark, and Janine does a burn, and then Claudia responds with a burn.
Okay.
And Janine has drawn her digestible comestibles. There's a Tootsie Pop and some other candies. And Janine, Trevor Sanborn or somebody is saying, like, this is so good. And then Janine walks in and she says,
is this triptych intended as a pop art homage? Or do you feel you have something to say about American consumerism that hasn't been said before?
It's pretty good, yeah.
And then Claudia responds, and she's talking to Trevor, and she says,
this is my sister Janine. She hatched from a space pod my parents found in the compost bin and has struggled to adapt to the customs of Earth.
Like Superman.
It's a lot like Superman, yeah.
She's saying she's Superman.
She's saying
like the Goldfinger song.
Do I have to whisper to your baby? Can't hear it, right?
I don't think my baby. Can your baby hear me, though?
I'm just like, anything about babies waking up is very triggering for me.
Yeah. God, I should move.
You can move to a place and you can, like, put your baby leave in another
Brooklyn
wing.
I should leave my tiny Brooklyn apartment and move to like a home somewhere in the suburbs of New York.
Maybe or Connecticut.
Suburbs. Well, Connecticut is essentially a suburb of New York.
Okay. I'll let the people of Connecticut know.
Where the boy could sleep on like an upper floor and I could be in the
And you can do a burn of the damn week like any man should when he's talking about the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, I'm a fucking
yelling
man.
It at the top of his damn
lungs. I'm a man.
Yeah.
I say this to my wife every night. I'm just like, I'm a man. I should be able to do burn of the week as loud as I want.
I want to yell when I'm talking about the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, I'm going, blood!
What's your burn?
Just like a minute later.
Yeah. And Baby Nation, Tanner is going to be speaking very quietly while his baby fusses. Yes.
He's so mad. I can hear him. He's still pissed. Trevor is in that scene that you just described. Trevor has been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he's there to help Claudia select a piece for the Eastern Connecticut District Art Show.
Yeah.
That whole exchange humiliates Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor, like, excuses himself politely. Next scene is that evening. They're playing Trivial Pursuit with Mimi. And they're fighting. Janine and Claudia. And Claudia says at the 4 minute 36 mark,
first you humiliate me in front of Trevor.
And Janine cuts her off and says,
who's Trevor?
You just saw him. Like a minute ago.
He was here 2 hours ago.
That's a very good burn. I really like that.
Yeah.
We should leave and go. Well, because we have a whole interview that we want to do. I would like to very, very briefly, very quickly ask you before we do. Mm-hmm. Did you cry?
Oh, God, Jack, did I cry? Yeah, I cried for about the last 10 minutes of this fucking episode.
I cried a lot. I'll remind you that when we do the tearful moments in the video novel series, I'm not going to allow myself to fall back on the crutch in post of pulling a clip from the episode. So if you have something that made you cry, you're going to have to describe it yourself.
Okay.
You're going to use your words to convey the emotion.
Okay.
So that's what we do with for it's canon that we do this for the video books.
Yeah. Okay. I think I have that gravitas.
Yeah. I cried twice in this novel.
I cried twice too. Yeah.
Let's hear your first one.
19:15 minute mark. Well, it doesn't matter what mark.
Doesn't
it is,
matter.
Cause you're not going to put them.
No,
the
you got to describe it yourself. We're going to make our audience cry through your words.
Mimi has had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And she's lost her words.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying to Janine and Claudia, Peach's horse house.
Yeah.
Peach's horse house, and they don't know what that means.
Right.
Claudia struggles to connect with media through Mimi. Claudia struggles to connect with Mimi through media.
Mm-hmm.
And says, here's a picture of a horse. Here's a picture of a peach.
Mm-hmm.
She's unable to make that connection, and Janine has to step in and speak Japanese.
Yeah.
To Mimi, to understand that she was talking about her time in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. And Claudia and Janine have a moment in the lobby of the hospital.
Yeah.
Where Claudia says, I drew so many dang pictures of horses.
Okay. And here come the waterworks.
And I drew a picture of a peach.
Yeah.
And I thought that would help. And it just made Mimi more angry.
Yeah.
And Janine says, it's okay. I spoke Japanese at her. And she says, Claudia, Mimi is finding her way back to us again. To you.
And that's what the dang pictures are meaningful.
And that's why the dang pictures are so... dang pictures are so meaningful!
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's powerful. I love that.
Yeah. It was good.
Sounds like your baby's quieted.
Yeah, he's settled down, yeah. So I can start shouting again.
Okay, I got two. I want to say them both.
Okay.
The first is right at the very end that I want to talk about. Right at the very end. And
the pictures?
Yeah, it's the pictures. And it's... Yeah. Okay.
The photos,
it's
at the, as you said.
19 minute and 48 second mark. And I guess I don't need to say that because we're not going to be using clip from the show as a crutch.
Right.
It's this... Marianne never fully appreciated the room that the girls had remodeled for her because there was something missing from it.
Right.
And the thing that was missing, it turns out, was the Humpty Dumpty photo, the photograph of Humpty Dumpty, the rare photograph of the egg, historical photograph
Eggman.
Of the egg, of the shattered Eggman. And it's eggs again, and it's eggs all the way up and all the way down. We can't emphasize this enough in these video novels. It really is a lot about eggs.
Yeah.
And they realize, you know, and Anthony, honestly, and Bobby could have told them this if they'd asked. But they needed to do something nice with the...
Anthony would do something with those eggs.
Yeah. He would have made up the
like
fucking
a
delicious hollandaise.
Kind of hollandaise is good, yeah.
But... Okay, they realize, and they have that. They find the old pictures of Marianne's mom, Alma, when she's pregnant, putting up that photo on the wall, and then another picture of baby Marianne. While they're of baby Alma,
yes,
and they put both the all the three of those pictures up together in kind of a montage, and then Mr. Spear looks at it and he's tearing up and he says, I don't think he says anything, but what he's saying in his mind, and you can tell just kind of from the way he's looking at it, is, now my dead pregnant wife is putting up the egg, but she's also next to the egg, and there's another picture of my baby wife, and that she's a baby. And then he says, I hug you. I hug you. And he hugs her. And then he hugs Marianne.
Baby wife. Such a powerful moment.
And they're all together, all three of them, the egg and the baby wife and the dead pregnant wife are all together.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I wept,
and I did cry, and we did cry a lot at this, and now we have to go, and now we have to leave. But before we leave, we are going to give you all a big treat, and it's a nice treat because we did an interview. We're about to do an interview.
We're about to do an interview where they're waiting. So they're in the Zoom
they're
waiting
in the
room
Zoom
now.
Room. And it's the executive
waiting
producer.
Waiting to be admitted. Yeah, two executive producers.
Two executive producers of this show.
Naya
Susikoff.
Susikoff and Lucy Katada.
Yeah.
From Waldengridia and Picture Start. We got to come up with a mean nickname for Picture Start.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
I think we have to workshop this now because I want to go into the interview ready with one so I can really get her, you know?
Thinks they're smart. Mario Kart.
I like Mario Kart.
We're going to work on it. But in the meantime, what I would
fix your art.
Fix your art. Yeah, fix your art, Picture Start.
Yeah.
We're going to work on it. We'll workshop it with Lucy.
And it's out of love. These mean nicknames are out of love, and it's out of respect.
And it comes from respect.
Because we expect the best.
We expect the best, yeah.
From them. And, you know, they're great. They're great. And
we're going to get the best, and you're going to get the best from this excellent interview, which is coming up with Naya and Lucy now. Lucy has entered the room. Should we big dog a little bit, keep her waiting, or should we just let her right in?
Should we big dog her until Naya shows up, or do we just want to let her in and maybe get some let's dish on Naya for a little bit?
Okay, that's what we'll do. I'm going to let her in.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Lucy?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
You're here before Naya, so we can dish on Naya a little bit before she gets
here. Yeah. We were talking about whether or not we should let you in or wait for Naya, and we're like, no, let's let her in because she can dish on Naya.
Naya and I are a great team. There's no dishing. Okay.
If Jack weren't here, I would tell you all sorts of...
I would love that. That would be great. It's so nice to meet you both.
It's great
to
meet you.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah.
That was a royal week.
My wife is grabbing the baby monitor. Excuse us.
Hi.
Can you guys not hear your baby in your Brooklyn apartment without a monitor?
We can. We like to watch him.
They're
know?
So loud.
Yeah.
So who's in Brooklyn and who's where are you guys both based?
I'm in Brooklyn.
I'm in Austin.
And Jack is in Austin.
Are you always in Austin or are you just in Austin?
Lately, yeah, last couple of years. I don't know how I got out here, but I didn't leave. So I've been here for 2 years now. It's
I tried to convince
surprising.
Him to come home on a weekly basis, but he won't. He calls Austin home now, apparently.
There's no accounting for taste.
I did all the hard work of become like you have to be in New York for like 10 years before anyone will even accept that you have any New York credibility. So I like put in my time and then left. So
I lived in New York very briefly when I was 4, and I have one of my brothers was born there. And the thing that I remembered the most was how sparkly the sidewalks were. I was so close to the sidewalks.
Oh yeah.
How beautiful the sparkles were in the mica, I guess, in the cement.
Wow, that's cool. I've never noticed. It's like the eyes of children, you know?
Yeah.
So much magic in the world.
It's a really, you know, deep sense memory. I was also a very girly little girl, so sparkles would attract me. But It was like my primary memory of New York.
Yeah. My wife and I are fleeing to Connecticut in a month or so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we gotta, like, we realize we're paying for this, like, small two-bedroom apartment. We have a one-year-old son who's, like, rambunctious. Like,
congratulations.
Thank you. It was just like, we're paying for all the luxuries of Brooklyn, but we can't enjoy anything about Brooklyn, so we're gonna...
Tanner thinks that if he goes to Connecticut, he can find the real Stony Brook. I keep telling him that it's not possible, but he's not listening to me. So that's what's really happening. It's like national treasure. He's out there and he's gonna like spend his days like searching around to see if he can find the portal to Stony Brook.
Well,
it's
sad. I have to tell you. So right after we lived in New York, my parents moved for about a year to Greenwich, Connecticut. And we lived on this incredibly beautiful, beautiful street. It was, you know, full of greenery. I was like six when we left, right? So it was before I'd read any Babysitter's Club books. But there were so many kids on that street that I was best friends with. And there was like a little secret passageway behind one of their houses so I could sneak to go see my best friend. And then we moved from there very abruptly to Paris, which obviously was a lovely place to live. But I think it really mythologized Stony Brook for me because I felt as though I had really experienced that incredibly bucolic, you know, child-friendly environment.
Yeah.
And it put on such a powerful, sort of potent, you know, weight in my memory.
Yeah, I mean, Jack said it jokingly, but like literally as Jamie and I were like driving around Connecticut, I was like, I'm going to be honest, I'm really just looking for Stony Brook. I was like, I want to live in a place that reminds me of Stony Brook. And like, I was weighing like certain houses, like, would Christy live here?
No. Yeah, that tracks. Did you see that when Netflix did their little flyer with the number that you could call?
No, was it a Connecticut number?
It's a Connecticut number. It's a 203.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cute.
It's really cute. The team at Netflix is all a huge, like every single person working on the show at Netflix is also a huge fan.
Yeah.
So it's been, I think, a really, really cool experience for Anne to get to interact with everyone, and everyone has to keep it together, which is harder than you would expect.
Yeah. Have you been able to work closely with her?
Yeah, a little. Yeah. You know.
Must be nice.
Yeah. No, So, well, you know, I don't want to scoop Naya when she comes on, but The Babysitter's Club is a book series that I loved so much as a child and that I had tried at literally every job I have ever had to get made as some sort of TV show. And it really took the advent of streaming and sort of specificity of audience for me to get to actually do it. But anyway, yeah, so I had really tried at every single job I'd ever had to make this show in some capacity, just to use these books, because, you know, you never really know exactly whether something's going to hit or not. But I knew that I cared so, so much about these books and that there were millions of other people who had read them as children who might also care.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we like to joke that we made the show just as much for us as we made it for the kids.
We say that about our podcast too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you feel that there's like a dual audience? There's people who are like nostalgic for the show and also like a new generation of people who are like, who want to discover it?
Well, it was more that, you know, I think whenever you make anything in film or TV, you have to be so passionate about it because it could take so long to get made. You have to have enough sustaining passion to, you know, stick it out for 3 to 6 years, which is about the average time to get one project turned around and aired. And so it's a lot easier if you really, really care about it.
Yeah.
All of us really, really cared about it. It was really a joy to get to find all these people. Naya!
Hooray!
Hooray!
Hi, guys.
Okay.
You also look somewhere that looks very cool.
Yeah, I'm in Maine right now. I'm in Stonington, Maine.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I love Maine.
I'm living out my cottagecore queen fantasies right here.
It's so great. Naya, this is my view.
Oh, wow, that's gorgeous. All right, I need to see you guys' views now. Or can you not move?
There's a big pile of laundry right here on the ground.
Nice, nice.
Good.
That we're going to take to the laundromat later. The bed.
Here's, I got my cat.
Oh, there you go. Hi, cat.
Princess.
What's your cat's name?
Princess Cutie Face.
Aww.
Yeah, because she has a cute face and she's regal.
Yeah. I love her. My cat is Zelda.
Zelda? Mm-hmm. That's cool.
After Fitzgerald?
Escott.
Oh.
Or, yeah. Yeah, like Escott or Legend of, right. Depending on who that you ask in the family.
That's cool. It's good to cover your bases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tanner's done that with his child as well, Miles.
Yep.
Oh,
depending
great.
On who you ask, Miles could be any number of things from sort of highbrow to lowbrow.
He could be named after Babysitter's Club ghostwriter Ellen Miles. He could be named after Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog, whose real name is Miles. He could be Miles Morales from Spider-Man.
That's where I went.
Yeah. He could be Chief O'Brien, Miles O'Brien from Star Trek.
My child's name is Cyril, after a character in an Edwardian children's book. So,
oh, it's a basketball?
Yes, it's actually Five Children in It, but yeah.
Ah, isn't there a Cyril in the basketballs too?
There may be, but not as prominently. I'll have to remember.
I have read every single one of those books. I'm obsessed with all of them.
That's so awesome. They're like a huge part of, my wife and I both read them as kids, and so it's like a big part of our relationship.
My favorite was always the Phoenix in the Carpet.
Yeah, amazing.
Before we get into the meat of the episode, Naya, can we ask how you pronounce your last name?
It's Susikov.
Okay.
Susikov. Okay.
Jamie was right.
Yeah, and honestly,
Jamie was right. Oh, and also Jamie says hi.
Oh, hi, Jamie. That's so funny. It's such a small world. When I had that like realization that we know each other from college, my brain just blew up.
Weirdly, Naya, you're the second guest we've had on that is friends with my wife.
It's starting to get suspicious.
Very well connected in the Babysitter's Club.
I've heard Rachel, she knows Rachel from the theater, correct?
Yeah. It's starting to feel like a conspiracy.
She's a plant. We planted her. This goes way back. It goes all the way to the top.
All right, great. Well, welcome to the show, Lucy Katata and Naya Susikov. You guys are the executive producers of the Babysitter's Club TV show.
You're the both of your titles? The most important people we've ever had on the show.
That's factually incorrect.
Yeah, I feel bad for you if that's the case, really. You got to get out more.
Naya, I'm going to apologize up front about all the Wald Ingredia stuff. Obviously, Lucy, we haven't come up with a mean nickname for Picture Start yet, but I'm sure we will during the course of the podcast. It's kind of a rite of passage for corporations who interact with the Babysitter's Club with us.
Well, Picture Start hasn't crossed us yet.
Yeah, so we have a contentious relationship with Scholastic.
Yeah. And I know we failed miserably to catch the Phantom Caller, so that's on us. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, admitting it is important. Yeah.
It's good. The first step to atonement.
Yeah.
Still at large after 35 years.
Man, that guy's good. So we found he's Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz's dad. That's who the family is.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. He's well connected. That's why it's hard to get to.
Exactly.
Well, great. Well, thank you for coming on. We're just going to ask you a few questions about Jack and I obviously have been having a lot of conversations with people involved with the show. We've talked to Rachel, we've talked to Lucia, we've talked to Sochi and Malia, and we've made a lot of connections. I think it's looking pretty good that we're going to be pretty heavily involved in season two in a lot of different aspects. It's kind of like directing, writing, acting, a lot of acting, it sounds like. But now I think we want to kind of really dig into the biz side of stuff a little bit with you guys, figure out like...
Yeah.
What it takes to get a show made, all that kind of stuff. So just kind of pick your brains a little bit.
I figure maybe we can start by asking you a little bit about how you got this show made. And then we've got some just basic ideas. We haven't fleshed them out yet. And we can kind of figure out with you how to get them made that are babysitters adjacent.
Great.
I feel like you're the best people to talk to about that. But yeah, if you want to, like, how long was this in the making?
About 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Yes.
Tanner, strap in, because we've got three properties we want to get made. So,
I mean, I'd like to say this started when we were probably both around 11 years old, reading in a backyard.
I wrote to Anna Martin when I was 9, and she wrote me back, and it was the highlight of my existence. Except that now I've got a letter, and I love the same.
We write to her all the time, and she will not respond to us.
What did you ask her?
I feel like I asked her where she got the ideas. I probably gave her some ideas that I thought were really excellent at the time. I was really into giving notes.
You're practicing. You're getting ready for the job you currently have.
I found this letter recently that I wrote to a sticker company where I like made 3 pages long suggestions of like what they should be doing.
Dear Anne, I really love the Babysitter's Club. I think it's a great start, but we really need to punch it up a little bit if we're going to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Happy
reading.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so 3 years ago, and Lucy, please jump in at any point, but 3 years ago, Lucy came to me with the Babysitter's Club, and she said, you know, there's this book series, and I don't know if you read it when you were a kid, but like, you know, it was something I loved. And I was like, is it the Babysitter's Club? Because if so, yes, we're doing this immediately. And so Lucy and I drove out from where we flew out first to New York and then road tripped out to meet with Anne. And I'm not going to share her location because we don't want to triangulate too much.
It's Princeton, New Jersey. We talk about it all the time on the show.
Or so you think. And so... We had a nice lunch with her in a public place because I'm sure she was terrified that we were going to be crazy fans, which we were.
Crazy fans.
We were quoting directly from the book at the ripe ages of our mid-30s. And she was like, what is wrong with you, Joe? But somehow we didn't scare her too much. So she let us run with it. And from there, we went out to go find someone who was as obsessed with the BSB as we were. And Lucy, do you want to jump in from there?
Sure. I mean, my little backstory on getting the rights to you, Naya, is that I had tried to get the rights at every single job I had ever had in Hollywood. So much so that when we finally announced the show, every boss I had ever had congratulated me because they remembered that I had been fighting for it for so many years. So I remember exactly where we were at that lunch, Naya, when I first mentioned it to you. And so we set off to try to find someone who'd be a mega fan of the books because we knew that we would really only get that texture and that sort of deep-seated love for the books if we could find someone who was going to be as passionate about it as we were, but also just be the creative force. Since you know we're more in an editorial capacity almost. It's more of a support and structure and help, you know, as opposed to creating ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we were out looking for somebody, and then we got an incoming call from Lucia Agnello's agent, which was such a dream come true. We were like, oh my goodness, how did we get so lucky? She was a huge fan of the series, and she came in and met with us and had such a clear vision for what she wanted. She referenced Freaks and Geeks as sort of a tonal comp. And she talked about how the girls that she has worked, the sort of adult women roles that she's created or had a hand in creating, were also once teenagers, and teenagers are hilarious. And she wanted to see those kinds of girls reflected in the Babysitter's Club. And so we started looking for someone who could work with Lucia and with us. And we were not really finding quite the right fit of sort of comedy and heart and deep-seated love of the Babysitter's Club. And then my friend Rachel Schuchert came to mind, and she had just had a baby. So I knew that I was pushing my luck a little bit, but I called her up and I was like, what do you think? Could you do this? I know the timing's not great, but I feel like you're going to have an answer for me one way or another very, very quickly. And she thought about it for about 30 seconds and was like, well, obviously, let me tell you exactly how you should make this show. And she came in with basically no help at all and presented this incredibly perfect vision, dovetailed completely with what Lucia had to say. And we were just, you know, it was just, we were just there. It was exactly what we needed.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, for Walden Greedia's perspective, I don't think we've ever worked with anybody as incredibly cool and on point for this project as Rachel and Lucia were. So it really upped our clout.
Yeah. It was great talking to both of them, too. They really seemed to, like, really know the source material very well as well.
Yeah, that's an understatement. And the other thing I need to mention is I was working with Michael DeLuca at the time, and he was incredibly supportive of this entire endeavor in the sense that, you know, I kept him posted on everything, but he was just like, look, go for it. I believe in you. Which is incredible. If you look at his credits, you will see how much that meant to me to have his support. And his daughter was also aging into the books and becoming a big fan. So I think he really appreciated the clout that it gave him in the schoolyard.
I like that our pitch for the Babysitter's Club included from the producer of 50 Shades of Grey, the director of Time Traveling Bong, and the writer of Blow.
I mean, a lot of those themes are in the books as well. So,
yeah, 50 Shades of Alan Gray. It's really perfect.
Oh my god, that one is.
Xochitl Gomez told us that she liked to refer to Michael DeLuca as the Infinite on set, and told us that we should refer to him as that.
That's incredible.
And we asked her what that meant, and she didn't have a clear answer, but. So that's infinitely what we think of him as.
Yeah.
Infinitely wise.
Yeah.
All of this track for me.
Infinitely terrifying, I assume. Yeah. Infinitely ancient. We'll work on it.
Definitely not.
I don't think he'd love being called ancient.
Have you guys been working with the Leviathan? And is that quite frightening?
We have.
Yeah.
His depth of knowledge is frightening. I mean, yeah. He knows absolutely everything about these girls. To the point that if you step a little bit out of line with it, he's there to smack you back. Yeah. I hear you might be talking to him. Maybe. Am I spoilers?
Well, we have to
translate. Like, yeah. It's very hard finding a translator who speaks Infernal.
Yeah. I have some like Aramaic and some ancient Greek, but like it can do a little bit in terms of getting it across, but it's very, very difficult to communicate. And also, as I said, very, very frightening.
Yeah. I have to imagine breathing underwater is probably not going to help either. It's not great on a podcast.
Breathing underwater, avoiding the mind flaying. It's like there's a lot of hoops we have to jump through, but we'll
want to do it.
Yeah.
We would love to, while we have you for a little bit longer, pitch you on some ideas. Maybe we can get something made. The show is a hit, but I think there's definitely appetite for more Babysitter's Club adjacent properties on Netflix or elsewhere, and I think we're the people to do it. So I'd love to work with you guys on getting something made, first steps of that. I understand it takes about 3 years, but let's get started soon in that case.
I'm happy to do this, but you should just know that I'm a professional dream crusher. So
okay. Here's one. Ready? A Time to Kilborn. It's based on Shannon Kilborn. Okay. But here's the big question about Shannon Kilborn. I don't know if you've written her into the show yet, but because we haven't seen all the episodes. But the thing about Shannon is whenever they call on her, hey, Shannon, we really need you. You're the associate member. Like, we need you in a pinch. She's not available. Why is that? Super spy. Obviously, working for the U.S. government. And so this is set in Stony Brook.
I hate to give you notes mid-pitch, but I don't know if she's working for the U.S. government. I don't think
maybe
she
we don't
has
know.
A
we don't know. Country. Yeah, there, it's I think 24. It's like 24. You never know who's a double agent type of thing.
Or a little bit more alias.
Alias, exactly. Yes. Okay. I see that you're vibing on this pitch.
Can I just step in right now and say anything that you pitch us at this point is property of Walden Gradia forever.
Yeah,
forever.
We'll run the same disclaimer we ran through Rachel. So I'll just say some boilerplate text real quick, and we'll speed it up in post.
Great.
Anything we pitch to PictureStart and Walden Media is 100% property of Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring, and 100% profits go to Jack Shepard and Tanner Greenring, and they get executive producer credits on every show
and starring roles
together and starring. Yeah.
Great. We're here for that.
So I'm thinking like it's like Born Identity kind of, but you know, aimed at the same audience. We could maybe get John Krasinski.
Yeah, he's
to play Shannon. He'd be really good as Shannon.
Shannon or you know, or anyone from The Office honestly would be good.
They're all available.
Yeah. And so each episode begins with we can get one of the babysitters from the show calling up Shannon and being like, hey, there's an emergency. Like the Pikes need a second sitter and Mallory can't stay up late. And then Shannon has to deny the call because she's like on assignment.
This seems like the exact same structure as Phineas and Ferb episodes, where Shannon would take on the role of Harry the Platypus.
I think that's great, because those kids who are kind of aging out of Phineas and Ferb, we've got like a place for them, which is A Time to Kilborn on Netflix. Or, you know, we're open to Netflix. Obviously, that's the dream, but we'll take any. Like, we'll do Amazon.
Yeah, we'll Prime take anything. Streaming. We don't want to seem desperate, but we will take anything.
CBS All Access.
Yeah.
So Quibi? You'll take Quibi?
I love Quibi. We'll take Quibi, yeah.
Yeah.
Quibi pays. Quibi's good. Question, can Shannon be a platypus? I actually really like that idea, Lucy. Let's run with that.
I love it. I love that. Okay. We have some very successful IP in the form of a porpoise on our show. People really love a porpoise character that we've created called the Slabius Porpoise. It's a huge hit and everyone really loves it. So we could kind of bring that to bear.
That's great.
Yeah. You know, and they're both animals that begin with P. So
good.
So it sounds like you guys really responded positively to that one. We'll let you guys get back to us with,
let us noodle on that.
Timelines, maybe what kind of points we can expect, things like that. So. Mm-hmm. The other kind of big successful spinoff we can see coming out of the Babysitter's Club is we've on the podcast developed a few characters of our own who kind of fit very naturally into the universe of Stony Brook and the Babysitters. They're sort of middle-aged men, business tycoons,
Titans of industry.
Titans of industry. One of them is called Goliath Hardbody, and he runs a giant corporation called Hardbody Industries that will eventually go on to acquire the Babysitter's Club. And right. His second in command is this guy called Mark Markson, because Jack's not very good at naming characters.
Well, we also have Dave Daveson and Rich Richson. So yep. I actually have a wealth of naming possibilities for if we need to do a lot of characters for this show. So
right. We're imagining this is like...
Okay.
Yeah. We're imagining this is like, this could find a home on like CNBC or something like that. It's kind of a little bit more for the business set, but you know, still very like steeped in Stony Brook and the Babysitter's Club mythology.
Right.
I was hoping you were going to say that it was much more of an HBO elevated play and maybe a companion piece to Succession.
I like that.
Okay.
This is why you get paid the big bucks. That's perfect.
HBO, as I'm sure you know, hosted the original Babysitter's Club.
Yes. We've watched a couple episodes.
We love the theme song.
Yeah, the theme song is great.
Theme song is my jam.
We made all the girls learn the theme song on set.
It really gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. And then, you know, as far as I know, you guys aren't in charge of casting, but just kind of like for the pitch deck, when mm-hmm. we go to HBO, like... Goliath Hardbody could be me. It could be just kind of spitballing other sort of Goliath Hardbody types. Me, Idris Elba, Daniel Craig, yep. I think I said at one point. So just sort of like that vibe,
yeah.
You know?
Got it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's disruptive as a thing. And this is why I think that it can appeal to people who are like interested in business, people who follow the stock market, like people who are serious about business but want a fictional show. But because it's disruptive, because it's new, because it's like new technology, it'll also bring in the existing audience of young people who are enjoying the Babysitter's Club show.
I have a question, which is where are the women on your show?
In Hardbody Industries, there definitely are absolutely no women.
I think at one point there was. Her name was Hippolyta, like...
Swift Thighs,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And she was kind of a competing business tycoon, but...
Yeah.
For the most part, it's just these deep-voiced men.
Yeah. They're very with the times. Just business, you know, older, balding business types.
Yeah.
Is this not hitting? I feel like this isn't hitting with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Goliath Hardbody is a really compelling, interesting character. I have to agree, but I don't think we want to do a show that's not at least involving some women in an entrepreneurial role. It just doesn't click. It's not for me. I'm going to pass. Respectfully.
Okay.
I don't work on stuff. There's no women in it.
Okay. We'll take it elsewhere, but thank you for your feedback and thank you for your time.
Yeah. All right. And that's a note for us, Tanner. We'll try to develop some deep voice women.
Yeah.
We've got one more pitch for you. This is more sci-fi. It's you know, there's just like a wave of exciting science fiction and fantasy shows right now. Maybe this is like a, it's like a WB type thing.
Is that still around?
Is it? I don't know. Is Buffy still on?
That is serious.
I wish.
It's called Track and Jackie. And it just follows the continuing adventures of Jackie Radowski. As you know, Jackie Radowski is a babysitting charge of the babysitters, one of the favorites. But the reason that he's so clumsy is that, as I'm sure you know, whenever he trips and falls, what's actually happening is he is tripping outside of time into an alternate universe where he lives out an entire lifetime, kind of like Quantum Leap, and lives and dies. And so we can do anything. We can have a lot of fun with that. Different worlds, different ideas every week. And it's like a different, you know, just like a, you can explore a lot of things in a kind of like Star Trek type of way.
I do think that's a great idea, I have to tell you.
Super okay. High concept, easy to pitch.
Yeah.
Only thing you have to
People
worry
like
about.
That high concept.
Yeah. Probably a little costly, but you know, if we're going to green screen the whole thing, perfect. Yeah.
That's fine. Oh, no. All practical effects, I think. And like
puppets,
and
puppets. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just keep it in a sliding doors kind of way where they trip into the same universe, but everyone is acting a little bit differently.
Oh, wow.
So we can bring back like the same actors every week.
It's the same. Yeah. It's the same. It's Russian Doll. That's good too. Yeah, it's the
I'm
same.
A little. I mean, I kind of wish you had pitched this to Lucia because I think she would have been a great director for it. You know, you would have had a whole package at that point, guys.
We can get back to her. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll tell her that Naya and Lucy are attached to produce, and we just need her kind of directing, and maybe Rachel will even write it.
Yeah. Great. Get the band back together.
When I was researching Lucia, apparently she wrote her thesis on time travel movies.
I did know this
that
about her.
I didn't get a chance to ask her about it, but I was thinking about Tracking Jackie in relation to that. But
I know a lot about time travel.
Well, she's done one. She's done one of the classics.
Yes. Although I would argue that everything she touches turns into a classic.
Cool. So basically, it looks like we're 2 for 3 here. And we can get what's the next steps for us?
First one was a win. I think that was a what an interesting idea. Do come back.
Okay.
I was told early on that a great way to soft pass on a project is to say something like, "Wow, that was really well told. Let us think about it and we'll come back to you."
Okay.
We'll get used to listening for that. Okay.
Can I pitch you guys back an idea? Because
yes,
I was listening to your episodes with Rachel and Lucia, and I think you got something there with Boo Boo and Pete Black. I don't know. I would keep going on that one. I think the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern model is really good.
That I love that. So that's a spin. You're thinking of that as a spinoff.
I think,
and that's perfect. So yeah. we can star on what 5 or 6 of the 10 episodes for next season as Boo Boo and Pete Black, and then with the idea of building
just to
an
establish
entire,
the characters,
yeah, new property. That's great.
Well,
I really like that.
I think we still have to figure out how you're getting into Canada, but
it's such a problem. It's such a problem.
He's method. So at that point, he'll be like so immersed in Boo Boo that like. We can
They're
just
be like, of course we'll let this cat in. Yeah.
Well, great. It sounds like we've got a lot of good notes. Just if you guys can get back to us on next steps and maybe like who you're thinking we'll kind of go out to with this stuff, we can kind of like tailor make some of these decks.
We will not be doing that.
Okay. I guess I misunderstood some okay. of the feedback.
Yeah. Great.
And if you guys have any podcast ideas you want to pitch us, obviously we're open to kind of like thinking through. It's a two-way street, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been really lovely. We're really glad that you came on the show, and we are really loving watching the Netflix show. It is a masterpiece. So
thank you guys so much for, you know, I always say that your podcast really kind of helped keep it fresh in my mind. And sometimes when I was reading the script, I'd go back over some of the old episodes and just check and see, not always accurately, if what we had was correct.
I have this, that's very nice of you to say. I have this problem where, like, whenever I'm trying to remember what happened in an old episode, in an old book, I'll look at my notes for the episode and they're completely incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us on and for watching the show and for talking about the show. It means so much to us that you like it and that you're watching it and that you're encouraging other people to watch. Every view counts. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we love it.
Baby Nation, watch it again.
Yeah.
Make up an account.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Make up fake account.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Yes,
thank you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. And we're back.
Wow. Thank you so much, Naya and Lucy.
And they are both gone.
Do you have anything
gone.
You want to plug?
And they're both gone. Gosh. It's us. It's you. It's me. We're saying goodbye. We're back to say goodbye. Naya and Lucy are gone. I would like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
And I would like to... Yeah.
Naya, Lucy, no, thank you both for being here today. It was so great speaking to you. And is there anything you want to plug?
I guess not.
Okay.
I guess not. So maybe
actually,
I'll just
kind of. And now that's rude. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what can you expect from fucking Fix Your Art? You know,
from Mario Kart and
from fucking Mario Kart and Juan Gridia. We are gonna work on it for Picture Start. Don't you worry, yeah. Lucy. We would like to thank our wonderful guests for joining us, and we would like to thank each other. We don't thank each other enough for just being there for one another during.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Okay. I would like to thank the Baby Nation for listening. We love you and we kiss you so very much. Please do subscribe to our Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole other show where we talk about the Little Sister books and we sing about them and it's good and everyone likes it. And it helps to support our work and keep us doing what we're doing. It's only $5 a month for a whole other show. Please do check it out. Please also join the Baby Nation Facebook group. Go to Babysitters Club Facebook page and join the group. That's where all the action happens. And buy our merch.
bit.ly/bscc merch.
BSCC merch. We've got shirts. We got totes. We've got stickers.
Stickers.
We've got pins. We've got all sorts of good things. And it is another great way to support our show. Rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Give us a nice rating and a review. We like to read those. And when they're nice, it makes me feel good about the work that we are doing. All that remains now is for me to say that this week we did read a video novel that was called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show Number 6, Claudia and Mean Janine. Next week we're going to be reading a delicious video novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show Season 1, Episode 7, Boy Crazy Stacy.
They're going to be in C-City.
C-City, New Jersey.
We're going to meet Mallory.
Oh, God. Fuck yes, we're gonna meet Mallory. Shit,
it's gonna be so exciting.
Wow, the one who was foretold.
Yeah,
the sat who will become a sitter. I cannot wait. This week, Baby Nation, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Is that another nap dress?
It is a nap dress. I wore it just for you, Lucy. I thought you needed to see it. And all
a nap
glory.
Dress is a dress that you nap in?
It is. It's possibly the most bougie thing ever, but I feel like it's appropriate for where I am right now.
That's awesome. I'm going to get one.
Also, you understand, I have been advertised this on Instagram so heavily. Like, not scroll through three images without getting another fucking nap dress. So I'm very excited to see Naya.
I think
wear.
You have to get a nap dress. It's honestly going to change your life.
I would love one. I'm gonna say nap great. Dress out loud so my Instagram hears me. I would love to buy a nap dress. We'll see if that works.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.